And then when he talks about speaking and serving, he's talking about categories of spiritual gifts. So that's the way we're going to approach it. But by definition, a spiritual gift is an ability that is given to you by God that you would otherwise not naturally have. And I think there's a misunderstanding on that. I think people think that talent or proclivity or propensity or preference or that's spiritual gifts, and it may not be. I don't think musical talent is necessarily a spiritual gift. I was thinking about your grandson, and there are some people that God just does something. He bypasses heredity. He dumps something in them, and it's obvious that it's a gift, and it's not just a natural talent. But by definition, spiritual gifts are abilities that we would not naturally have. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us, and if you want really an extensive teaching on the use and misuse of them, there are several chapters in Corinthians that I'm not going to go into. But one thing comes to my mind. I think the operative word in this whole, and I underlined it, I even pointed it out when we read it in verse 10, is whatever gift, charisma, he has received, use it to serve others. The word received. It reminds me of a scripture that a friend of mine, it wasn't an anonymous letter, you know, where someone just unloads on you, you know, and then doesn't sign their name. This was a friend. It was a wise friend. It was a friend who said something to me that I needed to hear. I didn't want to hear it. It hurt my feelings. But it was a wake-up call. It was at the peak of me being invited all over the world to sing to large numbers of people and speak for large numbers of people. And this friend, he's a minister. He's a minister who specializes in teaching on the servant nature of Jesus. And I thank him for sending me just one little phrase. It said, 1 Corinthians 4:7. Let me read it to you. Who is it that makes you different from anyone else, unique? And what do you have that you didn't receive from him? And if you did receive it, why do you act as if it was not a gift? He said, and then at the bottom of it, it said, there is only one reason you have a fruitful ministry. Grace. That's absolutely true. What is it that makes, not what is it that makes you unique, it, who is it that makes you unique? Well, it's God. What do you have that you didn't get from him? Nothing. Air to breathe I get from him, you know, motor skills, I mean, you know, a brain, I get it all from him. And said, and this is right at the beginning of a letter to a church that was really confused on how important each individual person. There was all kinds of competition and jealousy and flesh. Paul said, look, here's something you got to get clear. If everything you have is a gift, then you need to stop acting like it's not a gift, like it's yours, like you deserve this, or this is, you're special. Yeah, you're special, but somebody made you special, and somebody gave you everything you have. So let's have that clear. I didn't write him a letter back. I called him, and I, in tears, and I thanked him, and I said, thank you. The wounds of our friend are faithful, because I needed to hear that. So that's the first thing. Maybe I'm making too big of a deal out of it. I don't think so. I think Peter is saying, look, just remember, if you have a spiritual gift, and I believe every believer has at least one. I've heard people say that the language, whatever gift, charisma, he has, use it. Some people say that means all Christians have one gift. I don't think that's true. I think there are some people that have many gifts. Peter's not talking about how many gifts you get. He's talking about the way to use the ones that you've been given. You see the difference? We could talk about that if you're interested in that. But remember, it's an ability that God gives that I would not naturally have. He gives it for the common good. He gives it to build up brothers and sisters. I was reading the scripture in Ephesians chapter 4 today. Every now and then, I remind myself that the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 that God gives pastor teachers to the church as a gift. He gives the pastors and the teachers the gift to teach, and he gives them to the church as a gift. And that's another thing that's important to keep in mind. You know, I feel like I'm being undervalued, or you know what I mean? You know, just the way we can get. And the Lord says, hey, wait a minute. I gave you everything you have, and I gave you to them. Thank you, sir. How high would you like me to jump, sir? And can I polish your shoes, sir? Peter said, use it in a way to serve others. There's lots of stuff I would like to say. I just want to just say I saw an entire church that started out really great destroyed over the issue of spiritual gifts. And it wasn't the bizarre ones that caused so much controversy. It wasn't that. I was over there. It was in Hawaii. The church isn't there anymore. And they were doing great. They were, boy, it was one of my favorite places to be. And then the pastor felt like he needed to find out what everybody's spiritual gift was and motivate them in the spirit. And I remember saying, Rod, you're not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives the gifts. The Holy Spirit's the one that can tell people they have them. Things are going to get out of whack really fast. And they did. The next time I went back 6 or 7 months later, people were wearing labels, name tags. Hi, my name is Joe. I'm a prophet. Hi, my name is Martha. I have the gift of helps. And of course, it degenerated. That's just silly. I didn't think that was bad. But what happened was then there's jealousy. Wait a minute. I have the gift of helps more than she does. Or I should be doing this and he shouldn't be doing. And the whole thing degenerated. Which is what happened in Corinth, isn't it? And that's why the letter was written about it. So I think there's reason to be concerned. But one of the things that's noteworthy here in verses 10 and 11, because he's going to tell us how we ought to be using the gifts that we've been given, is the very virtue of that fact that we're given instruction, and in Corinthians as well, means that I have control over how I use the gifts of the Spirit that I've been given. There's bad teaching on that. I had an interesting conversation with Holly in Israel, walking in the Jewish quarter, walking down, and we were talking about how we were both raised in Pentecostal churches. And she just sort of walked away from it. Well, I did too, but I think I came back to God's word quicker maybe than she did, and now she's in that place of wondering, what do I throw away and what's really biblical? And the thing that was off-putting to her was people say, well, I have no control. It just comes on me, and I just, blah, 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 you know, I just do the thing that I'm going to do. And I thought, well, then that's not the gift of the Holy Spirit that I understand, because if there's instruction on how I'm to use that gift, it means I have control over that gift. It doesn't come on me and take me over and against my will. So we can talk about that if you have other thoughts. The thing that Peter says is, whatever you've received in the way of a spiritual gift, use it to serve others. Be faithful stewards, one translation says, of God's extremely diverse grace. What is a steward? A steward is someone that has been entrusted He is a trustee. He's been entrusted with something that belongs to somebody else, and his job as a good steward is to faithfully follow the wishes of the person it belongs to, right? Stewardship. Belongs to God. It's God's church. I take this really seriously. I still have flesh. I still feel like, you know, me, myself, and I have a little conference, you know, at home, and I'm all alone, and I'm thinking, oh, this person needs to hear them. And I, just when I'm getting ready to exercise some pastoral authority, the Lord will say, son, could we just talk about this before you go off half-cocked? We need to talk about this because I'm not as ticked off at this person as you are. You don't know why they act the way they act. Yeah, it's distasteful, but I'm working on them, just like I'm working on you. So cool your jets. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. He says, it's my church. Just do what I tell you to do. Do it with all of your heart. Faith, be a faithful steward. And then he gives two categories of those spiritual gifts, those gifts that are given to build up and serve the body of Christ. The speaking gifts, I'm not even going to give you the list that I know, but we know them as like teaching and prophesying and exhorting and that sort of thing. Personally, if you want my opinion, and I'm going to give it to you anyway, I think the most abused of all of the spiritual gifts is prophecy, which by definition means to speak God's words. The most abused thing in all of the church is somebody saying, God told me to tell you. I mean, ministers do it. People do it to other people. And it just sounds so more noble when I'm getting something off my chest that I've been thinking to say, God told me to tell you. And Peter said, you know, you may not want to go there. If you have one of those speaking gifts, you need to exercise that as if you were speaking God's very words. Which means that if I'm going to editorialize, I try to do this when I teach. I try to tell you, this is my opinion. Or, you know, 10 people smarter than I think it could be this. When God gives me words to speak, I want to speak them boldly and fearlessly and not pull any punches, but I don't want to get my own junk in there. I want to soberly realize if I have a speaking gift to build up the body, that they're God's words. Be as a spokesman for God, is what Pastor Chuck said on this passage. Let me just read you what the Amplified Bible says on this. Verse 11, whoever speaks, that is in exercising a spiritual gift, let him do it as one who utters oracles of God. Didn't know what oracles were? They're not the arms on an octopus. I did find that out. Those are tentacles. But dictionary.com, handy little thing, says that oracles are divine, the instruments of divine communication in classic Greek. So if you're speaking the spiritual gift that God's given you to build up the body, do it as God's spokesman. And whoever renders service, let him do it with the strength which God furnishes abundantly, so that in all things God may be glorified. Whoever serves, another category. It's interesting, of all the things I've heard people argue over and compete over, no church has really ever split over people fighting over who gets to clean the toilets, you know, or who gets to serve. It's always the FaceTime gifts, the upfront gifts. That's the ones that people get jealous of and argue over. But we have never had an argument yet where somebody's left our church because they were not allowed to work in the nursery. So it is odd that the serving gifts are not quite as popular and competed for as the FaceTime gifts. But a couple of things I think are noteworthy. I have 5 or 10 more minutes, don't I? Okay. couple of things about the serving gift. One of the things that I thought was so cool that Pastor Chuck said on this: if any man ministers, that is, serves, let him do it with the ability which God gives to him. Here's what Pastor Chuck says: you can never be more than what God has enabled you to be. So just do that with the ability that God gives you, and then don't worry about it. You've got to learn just to do your best and then commit the rest. Now, this is hard for a person who's a perfectionist. They do their best and then they worry about the rest. What have they done? Why did I say this? Why didn't I do that? Or did I do the right thing? Oh, you know, they're constantly worried about what they've done. Hey, was it your best? Well, yeah, then let it go. God doesn't require more than your best. If that's the ability he's given. You know, I thank Pastor Chuck for saying that, and it was a good time for me to read it, because I get attacked every Sunday afternoon and every Wednesday night without fail. I write all my invisible resignation letters late Wednesday night or late Sunday. And when it comes right down to it, all that God really requires of me is that I use the ability that is given me. I'm not Joe Foch. I'm not Chuck Smith. I'm not Billy Graham. You know, I'm just a hairy person that loves Jesus, and I'm doing the best that I can. And that's all that God requires. And if he wanted somebody else to be here, he would put somebody else here. He does require that I do my best with the ability. And that's why I love what Peter says here. He said, do it with the strength that God provides. That would mean the way that you are an unfaithful steward would be to try to do it in your own strength. God says, look, I know you have limits. That's why I gave you my Holy Spirit. I'll help you. I'll give you abilities beyond your own. So don't try to just do it in your own strength. Peter says, do it with the strength that God's provided. Now, you've seen a theme. When you speak as if you were God's spokesman, because you are. When you're serving, do it with God's strength. And then comes that big fat so that in all things, God is glorified. Here's a little note I wrote to myself. By the way, glorified, the word doxazo, D-O-X-A-Z-O, has to do with God being seen for who he really is, clearly, without editing and filtering. And here's a note I wrote to myself. There's a way to use spiritual gifts, which we have received, in order to draw attention and praise to ourselves. Remember Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works, but they glorify your Father which is in heaven. One way to avoid this is to continually view myself as serving others. Another way is to remember that whatever I have to serve with, I've been given. 1 Corinthians 4:7. What do you have that you didn't receive from God? And if you did receive it, stop acting like it's not a gift, because it is. Good stuff, huh? I find those very challenging words, but I find the more that I look around and I see what the devil is up to, these are critical times that we live in. We need to be clear-minded, don't we? We need to be undistracted. We need to hear what God has to say. We need perspective. I know I do. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this admonition, and thank you for even the rabbit trails. I thank you for the eloquent and poetic way that my brother who's in heaven right now, C.S. Lewis, had to say about what this is all, how this is all going down. The page is being turned as we speak, and we're about to begin chapter 1. Lord, I pray in the remaining time we have, we would follow the instruction of your word. We'd be clear-minded that we would love one another, that we would extend ourselves outside of our own privacy, that we would use whatever gifts you've given us in a way that would build up your people and serve them and cause attention to be drawn to you. And thank you that there's a great promise in what Peter says, that he says that we're to use the strength that you provide. That means you provide the strength that we need. So Lord, I pray that we would look at these things and ponder them and consider them and obey your word. I pray, Lord, for my brothers and sisters that are distracted right now. They can't hear clearly. They can't even sleep. They've fallen right into the trap, which is so easy to do. I pray, Lord, that you would get the attention of your people in these days and keep us focused, thinking clearly, hearing what you have to say, getting your perspective, loving one another, all the things Peter said. And we ask you you would remind us because we leak. So, Lord, bless these dear ones that came tonight. Those that hear these words, may they be like the very words of God. And blow away what is just human opinion, I pray. Amen.